Stories are more than the key to imagination. They are a portal to an infinite amount of realms of magic, mystery, and beauty. The magic that lies just under the words of books will carry you out of the realm that you humans have come to know as your only reality. But little do you know, there is so much more to your existence than what is being told to you. Now, follow my voice and find yourself enwrapped in the story, for you will now cross over into another world. Our story brings us to a small, affluent suburb in Northern California, known as the Almaden Valley. It was a warm, beautiful spring day. The sun was beginning to fade. The sky was blood orange, and the clouds were bathed in a succulent pink hue. The sound of a slight breeze whispered gently into the ears of all who listened. People were riding their bikes, talking with one another. Others walked in solitude, lost in their own thoughts, and children could be heard in the distance, laughing, playing with one another. It was a picturesque day in the Almaden Valley, one that seemed like any ordinary day, one that the fine people of the valley had grown accustomed to, one they had taken for granted. There was a woman that was out enjoying the quickly fading light of the sun, getting in a good jog before going back home. Her name was Brooke Faywin, and she had just moved to the area from New York City. She was adjusting to being back home in Almaden, the place where she had grown up, and the place she had thought she had left behind for good when she left for college just 14 years ago. Shit, much to her mother's disappointment, Brooke couldn't even return for her own father's funeral. But now, her mother was gone too. It was surreal, really. She had just spoken to her mother a week and a half ago, when she called Brooke, asking if she could get away from work and fly out to spend a few days with her for her birthday. Of course, Brooke gave the usual excuses. I really can't get away right now, Mom. You know I'm on track for a tenure position, and it would look bad if I just picked up and left without a moment's notice. I see. Brooke, you've avoided coming out here for 14 years. You know how much it hurt me that you didn't even show up for your own father's funeral. He really loved you, Brooke, and I don't know. Did we do something to you, honey? Something we weren't aware of? I really miss you. I know, Mom. Hey, I'm running late to my next class. Can I call you later? I suppose I'd be all right, Brooke. I love you, okay? And I'm sorry for anything we have done to keep you away. If your father was here, I'm sure he'd say the same. Okay, love you too, Mom. Bye. Brooke would never call her mother back, though. Truth be told, she wasn't busy at all. She did resent them a bit, though. Having grown up privileged, the guilt of feeling resentful towards her parents ate away at her. But she couldn't help it. Being forced to attend all of the extracurriculars after school, attending cotillions on the weekends, not being hugged but being told the proper amount of distance to keep between people, and memorizing the placement of various forks, spoons, knives, and which dish each one was intended for. Sure, she was never hungry. She always had the most beautiful, finest clothes on her back, and she would get anything she wanted so long as it was considered proper and useful by her father. Let's just say that the iPod she begged her parents for was considered to be a gateway for immorality, a distraction. "An iPod," her father said, as if she had just revealed she had a drug habit. "I will not have you traipsing around here wearing tube tops like your Britney Spears," because tube tops and Britney Spears were synonymous. "You can get one of those things when you are an adult and able to pay for it with your own money." This wasn't unusual for her father, though. He could have bought her hundreds of iPods, but he only cared about molding Brooke into a proper young lady who could carry on the family business of curating artifacts from all over the world. That was what her father, Robert, did for a living, as well as his father, and then his father too. But that wasn't what Brooke wanted for her life. Far from it. She wanted an ordinary life, with an ordinary job, with ordinary kids, and an ordinary husband. So when she went off to NYU after high school, she stayed there. Brooke put her hood over her head, put her music on max volume, and focused on completing her jog. 6 of the 10 miles completed. The sun had now completely faded, leaving the sky a mix of gray and pink. It was quickly becoming dark. Brooke laughed to herself at the thought of her father seeing her now, running in a sports bra and leggings with an iPhone. She was antithesis of what he wanted her to be. "Get some clothes on this instant, young lady," she imagined him saying in his deep, bellowing voice. The homes began to become fewer and further apart until eventually the only homes were the ones that loomed on the hills on both sides of her, as if they were peering down, watching. This was also another reason why she hated her childhood home. It was all the way up in the Almaden Mountains, which made her daily runs only the more difficult. Brooke checked her smartwatch. 500 calories burned. Not enough, she thought. Gotta keep going. It was near pitch black by the time Brooke made it to the long, winding driveway of her parents' home. The driveway widened as it neared the estate's garages, and it was made up of a tanned cobblestone. The house itself was painted a neutral reddish-brown with stucco walls. It had red clay tile roofs with a low pitch, and all around were large open windows. The front was an open courtyard with palm trees and healthy green grass. Sweaty, out of breath, pulse racing, she entered the house and greeted her cat, who was waiting patiently on the bottom step of the stairs. "Hi, Tabby," she cooed before scratching the back of her ear gently. Tabby purred with delight. Steadily, Brooke ascended the stairs and made her way through the silent halls towards her bedroom. It felt weird taking over her parents' bedroom, like she would be erasing their memory from the house or invalidating them in some way. So she moved back into her old room, which was comical since it was like stepping into 2007 with a Green Day and Gilmore Girls poster still hanging up, the heart over Logan Huntsberger reifying her love for him and still holding true till this day. She turned on the shower in her bathroom. Disrobing, she threw her sweat-drenched clothes into the hamper before stepping into the warm, steamy water that felt delightful as it loosened her muscles. After her shower, she proceeded to make dinner. Salmon, brown rice, vegetables, and watch some CNN. "Definitely, Eric," the newscaster said. "This is the 5th disappearance in the Bay Area within the past 3 months. We could have a repeat of the Zodiac Killer on our hands here." "You know, Roberta, you may be right about that. We want to remind all of our viewers to make sure..." Brooke turned the TV off and tossed the remote aside. "I don't need to hear this right now," she said. She lived alone. She did not want to inundate her mind with news that would only make her look around every corner, check under every piece of furniture, peek into all of the closets, and sleep with a butcher knife under her bed. She picked up Tabby and said, "You're all I need, huh, Tabby Webby?" as she stroked her head. Tabby purred, tilted her head, and licked Brooke's ring finger. It was empty, lightweight, and felt naked. Everything had happened so fast with her mother passing away so suddenly. With the television off, the house was eerily silent. In her head, Brooke imagined her mother descending the stairs, seeing her only child sitting there, and ecstatically offering her a drink. Her mother was right, though. The house did feel so much bigger when you were by yourself. There it was again. Guilt. It was stewing in the pit of her stomach like a witch's brew. "God, Mom, you're right. It isn't the same here." Tony had warned her not to feel guilty. They had only been seeing each other for 6 months before all of this happened. but it felt like she had known him for years. He was easy to talk to and such a good listener. Having unlocked her phone, Brooke clicked the message app and saw that she had yet to respond to Tony. He had messaged her every day since she had arrived, and she had promised to keep him updated, but also that she needed space to deal with everything. Brooke opened the text thread and read it. "How are you today? Let me know if you need to talk. I'm here. Miss you." Now she felt obligated to reply. She, in good conscience, couldn't leave him unread. "Good, thank you," she typed. "Headed to bed. We'll talk to you later." Honestly, though, she could have talked with him if she wanted, but it was too hard for her. She had no intention of going back to New York anytime soon. God knows when she would see Tony again, if ever. Her parents' estate needed to be settled, and she was the only one who could do it. Hell, Tony didn't know, but she even had to cut out of her lease early for her apartment, even going on an extended leave of absence at the City University of New York. New York may very well be behind her for good. After laying on the couch with Tabby for a few more minutes, Brooke cleaned up the kitchen, brushed her teeth, performed her nightly beauty ritual, which consisted of applying overly priced tonics and creams, and walked around the house, locking the front and back doors. She got into bed, set her Rain Noise app, and closed her eyes. The night was still. Crickets could be heard rubbing their legs together, accompanied by the sound of frogs croaking. The home settled. The house groaned and creaked as the temperature outside cooled. The ornate grandfather clock that her father had imported from Europe stood stoically in the foyer. The sound of it ticking broke the silence. There was a phantom breeze that invaded the home. It crept inside like an eerie fog. The laundry room window had been left open. The wind gently brushed aside the curtains, revealing something, someone, standing just outside, looking in. Well, well, back so soon, are we? That concludes the story of Brooke Faywood. For now, that is. Please subscribe and hit the bell for notifications to uncover the fate of our dear Brooke, or to visit the worlds of our other stories that we have curated for you. See you next time.